Welcome to the Big Dreams Great Teams podcast with me, your host, Paula Maidens. I'm a mum of two, a hiring and leadership coach, speaker, ex-corporate recruiter, and serial entrepreneur who is obsessed with teaching capable business owners just like you how to become graceful and powerful leaders surrounded by a team who perform like rock stars. On this podcast, we'll be talking about all things people, business, and leadership because big dreams need great teams. You simply cannot do it on your own. I'm excited to have you here. Let's dive in. Hey, hey, everybody. This is my first episode that I'm recording live back in 2024. I'm slowly easing back in after the festive season, after my break. I hope you've all had a lovely holiday too. Now, I know that many of you are in planning and strategizing mode for your 2024, and I know that hiring is on the agenda for many of you, which is both exciting and scary. And I know that one thing is for sure, you want to get it right. When you make that leap to hire your next person or your first person, and maybe it's your fifth person or your 10th person or your 20th person, whoever you are going to hire in next, you want to get it right. So in today's episode, I'm going to share with you five interview questions that you must ask to maximize your chance of only hiring great people, because I know that's what you want. You only want to hire awesome people who are going to add value to your business, add value to your team, add value to you from an energetic perspective, from a skills perspective. And so you want to get it right. So five interview questions that you must ask. Now, I'm going to share with you the questions. I'm going to share with you why they're important, what you can learn. So you can also start to learn and get a bit of an insight into the strategy that comes with interviewing, because it's a technique. It is one of these things that we need to learn how to do, and we want to do it well. And to be able to do it well, we need to understand how to be strategic with our questions, because a great interview, it's so much more than a conversation. It's so much more than just a chatty chat, you know, to verify the information that you can already see on someone's CV or in their profile or whatever you've got in front of you. It is so much more than that. And, you know, for many people I know, for many entrepreneurs that I've talked to, they think that they can't have a proper interview without being like formal and stuffy and not really feeling like themselves. And you can do that. You can have a really strategic, effective interview and do it in a way that's friendly and flowing and builds a relationship. Because the purpose of an interview has three elements to it. It has three prongs. Like a great interview has three things when it comes to the purpose of it. The first one, the first and the most important part is, of course, that you're assessing if the person is right for you. You want to find out what they can do. You want to find out if they want to do it in a way that suits your business, that suits your current team, whatever it is that you currently have set up, if you have one. And if they want to do it in a way that helps and suits you as a CEO, you know, all the good and bad bits, all those little habits that are inside you, that's what you need to find out. So that's like the first, the primary, and I guess the obvious reason for an interview is to assess, are they right for me? But the second reason we have an interview, the second fundamental purpose that sits underneath, you know, having an interview, the reason why you have an interview is to build a relationship with this new potential person who's going to be on your team, hopefully for a long time. So you need to use your time to lay really great foundations about your future working relationship. And so that means building a bit of a rapport. That means setting some expectations. It means finding out a little bit about them beyond the specific skills and experience that they bring to the role, like finding out a bit about them as a human so that you can motivate them, engage them, and actually truly build and have a relationship with them. And it means helping them relax. So building a relationship with them, starting that process from the interview and helping them to relax actually in turn helps you to build a relationship with them. Because when people relax, they're more honest, they're more flowing, and of course you're going to get more of an insight into what they're actually like as an individual, which of course is what you want. And then the third purpose, the third prong to having an interview is to sell the person the opportunity so that if you decide that they're the right person for you, then they are a yes straight away. So we need to strategically put our sales hat on throughout an interview as well. So The five interview questions that I'm going to share with you today, they fall under the assessing purpose part. So the first reason, I guess, that I talked about, you know, they fall under assessing, the assessing stage of the interview, and they're purposefully phrased in a way that helps the person relax, that also starts to build a relationship and ultimately allows you to assess if they're the right person for you. Okay, so make sure you have a pen and paper handy because you're going to want to write these down. Now let's dive straight in. The first question that you must ask is, tell me about your previous experience doing X. Now this might feel like a bit of an obvious question. You might be thinking, why is she even talking about it? It's so obvious. And yeah, it is obvious, and that is why you ask it. Now it is the easiest way to kick off an interview. It's easy for them to be able to just kick it off and, you know, relax a little bit, which of course is what we want them to do. And it's easy for them to answer it. So they're able to just drop those shoulders and just start to ease into the conversation. It's also easy for you because you might be rushing from something else. You know, you may be a bit nervous about potentially interviewing somebody. So it's easy for both parties. And that is one of the reasons it's a beautiful question to put in there. And I suggest you put it in nice and early. If not at the beginning, maybe the second question. And of course, they're going to repeat information that you probably already know. Maybe you can see it on their CV. Maybe you're seeing it on their profile. Sure. But they're going to add some flavor to it. So in addition to helping the person relax and helping you relax, you'll get to hear and feel their experience in their own words. And they'll, you know, you'll hear those little extra bits and you'll immediately start to be able to assess their energy and their communication style. So they might be really long-winded. They might be really short and succinct. They might be really smiley. There's all sorts of things that you'll be able to assess and see, as well as the information that you're hearing. So definitely a question to always include and something to include towards the beginning. Next question is, what parts of this role will you need to learn? Now, this is a great question because it will tell you how much they understand the role, if at all, because if they've done the role before, then you would expect them to understand a fair bit and have some insight into what might be different about doing the role for you versus where they've done it before in the past. And you should start to get some really good information coming out from that perspective if the person has done the job before. You'll also get an insight into how much research they've done into your business, you know, from that thought process or from how much thought they've previously given to, well, you know, I've done it like this before and I expect what would be different about it in your business is X and I'll probably need to hear from you X or I need to learn how you like to do Y. So you'll get a sense of, well, how much prep have they done before they've come in to have this conversation with me? And if you're talking to someone who's never done exactly your role before, then asking them what they think they'll need to learn will give you some insight into how transferable they think their skills are and how transferable their skills and experience, of course, are into your role. So when we're interviewing, we always get information based on what people say. And then we also get to assess the way they say it and all the other things come forward as well. And with this question, you also start to understand a little bit about their personality type. If they're a learner, you know, how enthused they seem about the things that they will need to learn, whether that seems heavy to them or if they're really excited by that. You'll get a bit of a sense of how humble they are, maybe how big their ego is, and how they think about whatever training or learning they might need to do and what they expect from you. You'll get that from their language as well, whether it's like, well, you know, you're going to have to show me X, I'm going to have to see from you the way you do Y. And, you know, you can either get a bit of a sense of what they expect or your follow-up question can be, and how would you like to learn that, for example? So much goodness in that question, which is why I love it. The next one is, how do you manage your time? Now, I think it's safe to say that every single one of you listening is looking for somebody who has good time management skills. Now, I know that none of you want somebody who's going to be unproductive or inefficient joining your business. So asking how you manage your time is assuming that they think they're good at time management. It's like jumping over that, are you very good at time management type of thing? It's like, clearly, you think you're good at time management. Everybody does. Now tell me why and how you manage it so that I can assess if you're very good at it. So you're looking for the person to detail how they go about managing their time so that you can then think to yourself, is that going to work here? Do I like that? Does that feel like being a time ninja to me? Maybe they like lists. Maybe they're the sort of person who's always coming up with a new system or a new app to try to help them be even more efficient. Maybe they have a particular system that they like to use and they're unlikely to want to use yours. You know, how do you manage your time is a really beautiful open question, which will tell you so much. Now, their system might be totally similar or different to yours. You may be looking for somebody who you can learn time management off or get some tips from, or you may be looking for somebody who mirrors the way that you work because you think you're a time management ninja. There's no right or wrong, but you'll get a sense of this in your belly as well as information by way of the words that they say as to how they'll manage their time. Okay, next one. What makes you feel stressed? I love this story and oh, the stories I could tell you about the answers I have received from asking this question. What makes you feel stressed? Or when was the last time you were stressed on the job? Or tell me about the most stressful situation you found yourself in. You know, three variations to the same question. Because the reality is everyone gets stressed, and it's what makes the person stressed and how they deal with it and recover from it and how they act in that moment, which is the key information that you really want to know before somebody works for you. I actually learned this question when I was in my third year of my first job working in a bank. It's sort of one of the big Australian banks here. And I had joined on the grad program in about, you know, after a couple of years, I think it was my third year, I applied for a role on the trading floor in the investment banking arm of the bank. Now, that role was going to involve lots of high pressure situations, lots of stressful situations. And as a trader, it's a given that you're going to make mistakes. You're going to make bad calls on what you're doing. You're going to lose money. And it was really important for them in the interview to get to the heart of how I handled stress and what made me feel stressed. So they asked me about the last time I was stressed at work, what caused it, how I handled it, how I recovered, et cetera, et cetera. And obviously I answered it all well because I got that job as a foreign exchange dealer. And they explained to me afterwards that the really important thing was when I made a mistake, to identify the mistake, to own up to it, to fix it as soon as possible, and to stay calm in that situation, which would be extremely stressful. And basically they were saying, like, you're going to lose money, stuff is going to go wrong, you're going to make a big mistake, and we can't have you going and rocking in the corner while you like try and calm yourself down from it. So that's an example of when I got asked this question, I thought, oh, that's really interesting, right? And, you know, and they started to tell me about some of the other answers that people had given them and why they liked the one that I gave them, which I can't even remember, to be honest, at the time. And now let me tell you another story. So I was asking this question when I was interviewing with a client of mine many years ago because, you know, I love this question. I recommend it to all my clients. Now, I was sitting in the interview with my client in this instance. They were hiring an administrator to work with them and they really needed somebody who could troubleshoot, think on their feet, solve problems, you know, all the normal things if you're hiring like an operations administrator, somebody who's going to work really closely with you as the CEO. And they really needed someone who was going to stay calm under pressure. So we included this question, tell me what makes you feel stressed? And the person sort of stumbled a little bit. So we, you know, rephrased it and said, can you think of the last time that you were stressed at work? Now, this lovely applicant who up until this point had been totally lovely and had been, you know, showing lots of potential, answered this question by going into great detail about a time when she was working out of her boss's home because they had a home office and their pet parrot got loose. Now she spent a good, I want to say at least 5, maybe even 10 minutes telling this big elaborate story about how, you know, the parrot was flying around the room, how it got loose, how she tried to catch it, how she couldn't catch it, how she tried to call the boss and how he didn't answer and how she, you know, couldn't do any work and she kept calling him and, the, you know, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, it's not like the parrot was like trying to smash into windows or anything. The parrot was just out of its cage. Now, we learned so much about her and her working style and her personality through that question. We learned how she liked to tell stories. We learned that she was really chatty. And we learned that a parrot on the loose was one of the most stressful things that she had faced, you know, in the last couple of years, because we were able to say, is that the most stressful thing you can think of, et cetera, et cetera. So we learned a whole bunch of things about her ability to solve problems, what her preferred style was, how quickly she went to call the boss, et cetera, et cetera. So you can see how this can be really helpful. I asked this another time when we were hiring a receptionist, and the person answered the question really honestly, which was obviously ideal, where she said she gets really stressed when two phone lines are ringing at once. And she talked about how in her previous role, you know, there used to be two of them sitting there on reception, and when the other person was on break, maybe on lunch or something like that, she felt really stressed when the second phone line rung, which is a totally understandable situation, right? And it's totally fair enough that that caused her stress. And then we were able to ask her how she would handle it and how she'd handle the peak times in this business when she'd find herself alone on reception with the five phone lines that they had. You know, because that is what this role required. So we're able to sort of take her situation and then, you know, her previous experience and bring her into our reality, the reality of the job she was applying for, and her eyes widened, and we're able to have this really honest conversation and come to the conclusion that this probably would feel like it's a little bit too stressful for her because that would happen regularly, not just as a once-off. So in summary, I could tell you so many stories, but I'll leave it there. But in summary, it's a really good question because you'll get to the heart of what they perceive as pressure, what causes them stress. You'll strip away any assumptions that you'll make about, you know, what people normally find stressful and what people in this job normally find stressful and what they can and can't handle. You get to strip away all those assumptions by having an open conversation about it. And you'll both, you and them, will be able to assess, well, is this the right role for you? Okay, last question that I want to share with you for today, for today's episode, and that is, what do I need to do as your manager to bring out the best in you? Now, this is going to tell you how the person likes to be managed, what they're going to expect from you, and if you face a conversation where they're not performing where you'd like them to be or to your expectations, it'll give you a little bit of insight into a potential reason that might sit under the surface if it's something that they expect or would prefer you to do, which is stopping them from being able to be at their best. So asking it up front, what do I need to do as your manager to bring out the best in you? You get to hear what they want, you get to hear what they prefer, and then you get to decide, well, do I want to do that? Does that suit me? Is that going to feel good or is that going to feel annoying, too much, et cetera, et cetera? And the answers I've heard to this question are everything like minimum weekly meetings or daily check-ins, or I want to be left totally alone to be able to do the job, but I don't want to feel like you're hovering over the top of me. Or it might be things like I need honest feedback, or it might be even, you know, I've heard people say, I need you to give me feedback in a way that's really calm and constructive, you know, because I will have tried really hard, et cetera, et cetera. You know, many variations as to the type of response that you'll get here. And again, it just gives you this beautiful insight into whether the person feels like they're a match to you. So these are good questions, right? These are five pretty good questions. The quality of your questions, the quality of your interview questions truly will determine the quality of your hire. And so you want to go into every interview with the right number of strategically prepared questions so that you get the information you need to know, is this the right person for me? Is this a bullet that I need to dodge? Is this person going to be a dud, in which case I need to shut it down straight away? Or does this person have the potential to be my next favorite team member? So you only get that insight when you have strategic, prepared interview questions. And you don't want to work out all the information you wished you'd known, aka later. You don't want to work it out too late, aka after they've started. You want to get as much information up front as possible so you can truly make a decision with confidence, the best decision you can. And you want to ask everybody the same questions as well. Now, I know many of you listening will probably be thinking, so if I just take those five questions, will that work? Is five questions enough? No. So the answer to that is no. These are just my top five questions that I wanted to share with you today to give you some food for thought. Now, these will be appropriate for most service-based roles, but not necessarily all of them, because you need to be strategic about what you're looking for. Now, these questions will apply to most of them, but there's more that you'll need to ask to get a holistic, full view of the person to be able to make a really robust decision. So these are just my top five. and you need more than that, and you need to phrase your questions in a way that gets you the information that you need, that builds a rapport and helps the person relax, and of course sells the opportunity so that they're excited to think, oh, if I get offered this job, this sounds amazing and I really want to join them. So if you'd like to get your hands on more questions, I've got a resource that you can grab. It's my top 12 essential interview questions. So you can head on over to paulamaidens.com/top-interview-questions. So top interview questions with a hyphen in between to get your hands on my top 12. So it'll give you some more to choose from. And you'll start to, I guess, learn a little bit more about, you know, how to phrase something in a really open way and how to be strategic about what you're asking to get the information you need. So before we wrap up, I want to give you a little bit of a pep talk and tell you that hiring someone amazing is 100% possible for you in 2024. It starts with being really clear on who you need. And then the second part's having a great interview to assess if they're the right person for you. And then the third part of the equation is profitably onboarding them into your business so that they're up to speed quick, so that you train them in the right way and they start giving you value back as soon as possible. So don't forget to go and grab that resource. So paulamaidens.com/top-interview-questions, top interview questions. And know that I have literally interviewed thousands of people in my 17 years of HR and recruitment experience. And so these top 12, they're pretty good. I've condensed them all down. These are my top 12. They're my absolute favorites. So go and check them out. Choose which ones feel great for you. Okay. So that's it for today's episode. Drop me a message to tell me who you want to hire this year so I can cheer you on. I'll be back next week.